Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
All right, everybody, we are back in the House of Mystery. You're with your host today, Kevin Thompson. And today I've got a special guest with me, and I'm excited to do this show because it's covering one of my personal favorite topics. We're going to be talking about the paranormal. And joining us today, we've got Jeffrey Seelman. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Now, for the listeners that aren't familiar with you, who is Jeffrey Seelman and what do you do?
I was born with psychic ability and I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am 58 years old now. I was in the United States Air Force for a while after I got out in the 1980s. I studied metaphysical topics. I always had an interest in them. About 1990s, some people had asked me to do some home clearings just to see if I could do them, I guess. They were unable to get rid of these issues and the spirits in their home and decided that I should really kind of give it a go, and I did, and I was successful right away. That led to other people suggesting that I bring it to the public. So in 1992, I actually brought it to the public locally here in Milwaukee, and what I do is I clear people and property, business properties as well, of negative emotional energies, accumulated emotional energies in a property or around or in a person's energy field. I also banish, which means get rid of, you can't kill them, but demonic spirits, and also negative people who are dead and continue to do negative things. And as they say in the movie, business is a booming.
You know what? I know what you're talking about. Having, you know, done clearings myself, and I cannot say exorcisms because that's really not my thing. I'm more of a paranormal investigator. But why? Why the sudden explosion in activity? You know, going back to the 70s, you know, we know the classic cases, Amityville and, you know, the Conjuring, you know, which is based loosely around a true story, The Entity. But those are big, huge things. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, boom, every house, every trailer, every camper has got a spirit. Why is that, or is it something that we're actually doing to ourselves?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, Kevin. You know, we have a great interest in these things. spirits, we all are spirits, and when we die, we drop our physical body and fully become a spirit. But there are a lot of people out there who are not positive, and they don't turn positive when they die. And demonic spirits and spirits with a bad attitude, meaning negative spirits, have been around since the beginning. And so they try to get people to do what they would not normally do. They amplify angers. And so when people get angry or are thinking negative thoughts towards their loved ones or themselves or anybody else, one thing they do is try to amplify those emotions by linking or locking energy fields. So there's a great science to it. It's not really religious in nature, but many religions deal with it in their own way. I started out dealing with straight exorcisms and then branched off into negative emotional energy in 1999. When I realized that going through all of these homes, Kevin, all of these businesses, that some of the places just had a huge accumulation of emotional energy mm-hmm. from past tenants and present tenants. And also when there was a demonic spirit or negative spirit in there, that they were attracted to the amount of emotional energy in the apartment, condo, or the business or whatever. And so there's a dual problem. And so modern exorcism is not like it used to be. It's not just real specific. We're trying to get rid of more than one problem, you know, the root cause. What is the cause of why is a spirit attracted to this family or individual or home? And one of the solutions is to clear the home of negative emotional energy. And I do that in person, and I've also developed a technique that's scientific in order to do it remotely as well, because there's no such thing as distance. And when I was doing clearings only in person for the first 15 years of my work, I never touched anybody's bedroom drawers or anything personal anyway. I just kind of walked through and did my stuff and used a huge amount of strong, positive energy to have the opposite effect upon negative energy, which means moving it out of the house and somewhere else, depending on what it is.
Now, we've said a lot in the last 5 minutes, so let me back up so that we can hit some major points that I'm sure the listeners will find fascinating. Let's go back to your beginnings or to your history. Now, when you say that you began to study metaphysics, what were you studying and what was the attraction to that specific topic?
When I was born in 1959, I was, my memory started maybe age 3 or so, but I had the ability to see spirits, although I did not know what they were. I thought they were just luminous people that were around other people. I mean, not shadowing them necessarily, but in the classroom at school, that they might be standing near them or seem to be communicating with them, maybe helping them with their homework. And also there were other spirits seem to be trying to maybe distract the students. Mm-hmm. And so that was one thing that I saw. My mom told me later on in life that I was also telling her, you know, times that people would call in a few days in advance. No earth-shaking predictions, just little things. And so they had me tested. I also had experience, which I put in my first book, which I was woken up in the middle of the night. I was 4 years old by two aliens who were quite physical in my bedroom. And so that was my first experience with aliens. And so it should be said that happened, because it did happen. And I actually had somebody ask me one time, just one of my regular doctors, you know, primary care type physician, you know, weren't you sleeping? You think it's possible you were sleeping? And I said, I was until they woke me up, you know, so.
Now, aliens or spirit beings?
Aliens, actually quite physical. And I described them in my audiobook. I'm not trying to point towards that. But essentially, they had some kind of devices on their chest that were self-illuminating. And what they did, I do not know. I thought they were two giant eyes looking at me. It was real dark in my bedroom. And then they moved apart, and then I could actually see that they had identical clothing on, which I had taken to be probably some kind of uniform or something like that. And they're also the devices were uniform as well. I felt no threatening or hostile moves, although I was completely terrified and sat up straight in bed. I looked at them for about 15 minutes. I kind of moved around my bed a little bit, but they were far closer to the door of the bedroom than I was, and I just kind of ran out eventually and went crying for my mother. And so he's 4 years old now, years old. So.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
And so that's kind of happened that time.
Yeah, I'd like to come back to that topic actually here in a little while. But you went from studying metaphysics to suddenly doing clearings. I mean, were people around you, were they aware of your knowledge or what you were able to do at this point? And why would they come to you for clearings? Well, I mean, what qualified at that point Jeff to do clearings?
Yeah, it's actually kind of a logical story. I had attended some Ouija board sessions with people who've been doing this stuff for 20 years, and I was not even sitting at the table. I was actually back a little ways. I was just a casual observer, and I had been to several of them, and one of the messages that came through is this: one of the regulars that was having a problem, and nobody seemed to be able to get rid of this problem in his apartment. And he was a very sane, intelligent, professional person. And it just said, well, you know, let Jeffrey give it a try. So that's kind of where the message came from. And I was like, well, it can't do any harm for me to go in there and just take a look around. But I seemed to know what to do almost instinctively. It wasn't at that time so much training as it was that I naturally could always feel and even visually see on a non-physical level, which means with my mind's eye, negative emotional energies and positive emotional energies, but they were only concerned about the negative stuff. I perceived that there was a spirit that was in this guy's apartment, and I simply, you know, kind of used this energy that almost just kind of came through me and pushed it out. It never came back. And the same thing happened with somebody else who was sitting there, who was an actual psychic reader, who was very good at it too, and was not having a lot of problems, but just kind of wanted her reading room cleared out. And so I went and I did that, and that was also successful. And that's kind of when these people said, you know, you got something there. We've been trying this for a couple of years, you know, and you just kind of went in there and did it. Why don't you just, you know, see if you can help other people? And that's kind of what I did. I started, I put an ad in a newspaper, a local newspaper, and then things went from there to some television appearances and radio appearances and things like that.
So, what I mean, that is pretty incredible. Because I'm going to say this, and tell me if this is a fair statement, Jeffrey, given what you just told me, that this was just so smooth and so natural. You know, it's not like you went to any school. You didn't have to get certified. There was no, you know, you got to take 4 semesters of clearing and 2 semesters of demonology and let me look at your transcripts. You walked in there and did it. Would it be fair to say that perhaps God has gifted you?
I would say that you certainly... There's been a lot of additional training from higher sources. I think it should be at least considered that God would have a lot of workers. Somebody's not just kind of walking around on clouds with nothing to do, that there are spirits that may have been around longer than you and me or specialize in these things, be they terrestrial or alien or whatever, that teach people who are already maybe unnatural at this kind of stuff how to do this, and that was certainly my case. So there really isn't, you know, no school that could train me as well as spirits have, and aliens as well, you know. And anybody who had my first book is an audiobook, and it goes into my life story. Anybody who's read that would know that I certainly had to give credit to where credit is due. And so there was some astral alien training, and still is. And there were certain events that happened all at once, and then there were smaller things that happened. And so it kind of came from a number of different sources, and so my techniques are very eclectic.
Now, let's look at that. Let's look at your techniques. Because when people hear the word exorcism, well, let me just give you a test. All right, Jeffrey, I'm going to say a word, and you tell me what image flashes in your mind. Exorcism.
Removal. I mean, as far as, yeah, gone.
But most people think the movie Exorcist.
Yeah, it's possible. Now, the non-physical universe, some people call heaven or the other side, is completely non-physical, meaning that all spirits communicate telepathically. But it can be said that the non-physical universe is intimately connected with the physical universe. And so there are times when the wind is right, meaning the energy is very thick, full of emotional energy itself, or there's a very powerful spirit, where the physical universe, meaning our bodies or things around us, objects, can be affected through non-physical techniques by spirits, and even people.
Exactly. People think whenever you say exorcism or exorcist, and, you know, whenever I started telling people that you were going to be on the show, they're like, oh, okay, an exorcist. So is he a priest? You know, people have such a classic view of exorcism. When you mention your techniques, what do you do, and what can I give the listeners to kind of break that mold, get them out of that box?
Well, know that it's all science, that the other side, heaven, angels, God, all of these things have a scientific component to it. I'm not saying there's not a personal personality to spirits and higher spirits and God and all that. I'm just saying that the idea of creating things out of non-physical reality and then creating things into physical reality is actually a science. So I take non-physical energies that have a known effect upon negative non-physical energies, which is the only thing that we need to be concerned about, at least that I can help with. And I apply that sort of like a fire hose in a way, sort of like a car wash, except for it goes right through a person and out of a person in order to clear out blockages of negative emotional energy, which we all have. And if there's a spirit involved, I use certain devices, which I create, and also I teach people how to do this in order to separate these spirits. There's usually some kind of connection going on. When there's a possession, it doesn't mean that the spirit is inside of a person, and sometimes it could just be an emotional connection, and it has to be severed, and the spirit has to be driven away, and I use all sorts of different devices that I create spirits in order to create things in their own world, essentially heaven. If they want to look the way, you know, younger, if they want to move from point A to point B, if they want to create their clothing, it's all made out of energy, and they use a process like visualization, which works differently on the non-physical level. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying it's science. You know, that I don't know if I'm anybody special as much as that I simply am able to do these things naturally. I think we all do these things or could protect ourselves to some degree. We're just not really taught how to do it. Now, the movie The Exorcist, which I did handle for a television show on A&E, it was 13 Most Shocking Hollywood Curses. And my job was to do The Exorcist, the movie The Exorcist. This is a few years back. And, you know, 99% of that stuff never happened in the original event. I mean, as far as the supernatural stuff, there was some supernatural things that happen, or what we would consider to be supernatural, but very little of it. And so, you know, it actually took a while, and so a lot of those things didn't happen. The process of exorcism is disconnecting in every way two spirits one spirit that is trying to dominate or essentially get someone to do something they would not normally do. Hitler, significant other, maybe commit an act of violence they would not normally do. Kind of like an immediate road rage.
Yes.
We all become homicidal on the road, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Some nice lady, you know, just happens by accident cut us off, and all of a sudden, you know, we have all these negative thoughts, and negative spirits prey upon that. And so the importance of that, Kevin, is this. I don't think there's any more negative spirits around here than there ever have been in our history. People have been doing negative things to each other since the beginning of time, horrible things. We just hear about it a lot more. And also, they love to work behind the scenes because they do have every interest in all of us not knowing that they're there. You know, that these things are, you know, sort of Hollywoodish. Not, you know, cut down Hollywood. They make good movies. But the idea that it's got to be something fantastic. It's got to be something that's really obvious. But it's not. So a spirit actually communicating telepathically and emotionally to you to amplify your anger and maybe get you to do something on the spur of the moment that you would not normally do that would cause, you know, a horrible disaster is the kind of thing work they like to do.
So I'm going to say this then. How is it that they can create that? Let's look at hypnosis. The truth about hypnosis, at least in my humble opinion, is a hypnotist can't make you do anything that's outside of your character. It's something that deep down inside you really want to do, and they just kind of, you know, like alcohol, simply remove your inhibitions. But
let's just say that you're in an argument with a significant other, and there is that part of you that says, I'm not going to let this go any further. And you're really angry. I mean, you're so angry you could just, you know, it's like, wow, I would just like to do something, you know, like hit this person or something. But I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. This is when maybe a negative spirit or demonic spirit might pop in and throw a huge amount of rage and mix it with your rage and throw you over the line where you would make a decision or not be able to actually throw that stopgap in there and actually go through with doing something that you would not normally do. So you essentially you think it's your own rage, and you might even be justified in doing that when later on you'd say, wow, how could I possibly do that? Why didn't I stop like I have a million times before? And so this is one example. If there's substance abuse, if you check out, if you drink, say, you know, substance abuse, not substance use, but abuse, if you say check out on something, it is that much easier for something to temporarily check in and do something to get you to do something you would not normally do.
Oh, I completely understand that. If you are not in control of your mind, then who is?
It's easy for something to step in just temporarily, you know, and get you to do something you would not normally do. I remember something that happened to me just, oh my God, I was in my 20s after I got out of the service. I was walking with three people I did not know from one pub to the other across a very steep bridge over the Milwaukee River. For some reason, this two girls got into an argument over something I didn't know, and this girl just jumped over the bridge. Had me and this other guy not caught her because it was winter and she had a coat on, thank God we grabbed onto the coat, she'd be gone. She'd be dead because it was hundreds of feet to the bottom, and so it was, you know, she'd be gone. And so what made her do that? By the time we got to the pub, she was drinking. By the time we got to the pub, she had not remembered why she wanted to even do that. You know, and so these are kind of the kind of things that people do on, you know, immediately, you know, on a moment's notice. Crazy stuff.
Now, let me ask you, oh, you've got me excited, Jeffrey, and I'm a rabbit chaser without a co-host. Because I've got a similar story. It didn't happen to me, but I had to deal with it. We were stationed in Guantanamo Bay about 4 years ago, and there was a young woman from another unit, and she had, you know, had a little bit to drink, and she was depressed. And when people think of Cuba, they think of these lush tropical jungles. I do not know why the United States military chose cliffs, rocks, and a lava bed to put our base on, but there it is. This girl ended up halfway down a cliff trying to jump, you know, to intentionally jump to her death.
Yeah.
And one of my squad members had to actually climb down there and retrieve her. And she was completely nude. And when we got her back up to the top, you know, we covered her up in a blanket, put her in the back of the Hummer, and, you know, let the medics look at her. And like you said, she had no memory of why, when, where. All I know is I've got to die. I want to die. Now, here's the weird part of it. How the heck did she wind up that far down a absolute sheer cliff, Jeffrey, without some type of a spiritual influence? Are they able to do miraculous acts under the influence of these spirits?
I would say no. That if there was, she had jumped off a cliff and should be dead, and she was fine, then I would almost be looking more for something extraterrestrial. And I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's just doesn't happen very often, where a spirit would intervene and somebody jumps off a cliff and gets them to float down. I mean, we've heard stories, and that guy jumped off the top of, or fell off the top of a skyscraper in New York City, I think it was, not just a couple of years back, and he lived, his brother didn't, but he, you know, of course he's pretty smashed up, but so he floated down on glass, but was that miraculous? You know, I don't know. But that's a different kind of story. I'd say if how did that person get to the bottom of the cliff without, from what I understand, significant injury or no injury.
No injury at all. And she was halfway down, you know, on a ledge. So she had to have either jumped or fallen about 50 feet. And then it would have been about, I'm guesstimating, and I'm terrible at depth perception. If she had have completely fell, it would have been about another 100 feet down to the water.
Well, so I guess the question is the motivation, really, you know, I mean, as far as what would get her to do something she doesn't remember doing. Any spirit can have negative intentions. If 75% of people are good and 25% are not, which I think is kind of a fair average here on the earth, it can be said that 75% of spirits are good and 25% are not, meaning that they have negative intentions, and they might have negative intentions toward humans. So it may not be something more. A demonic spirit is essentially the counterpart of an angelic spirit, meaning that they're much older and they're much more evolved. Demonic spirits would not have a lot of respect for humans. So something was probably on her side at some point in there. I'm just guessing, you know, from what you have said. But there's plenty of negative spirits out there. They're just negative people who are dead that I run into contact with when I do clearings, which I do every day. And they are just negative people who are dead and continue to do negative things and have a negative intention. And they don't like themselves. They don't like other people. And now that they're not able to be seen physically by people because they don't have any physical attributes, that they can come close to us, and they can sort of whisper into our mind positive or negative things. I only am concerned about the negative things. And then we would not even believe or think that they're there. For one thing, we don't see them, so there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. The second thing that would be was that that's a negative thought that I've had in my mind, and very often it is us doing that. Sometimes we get some help in a negative way, meaning that there's a secondary spirit that comes close to us and then essentially sends out a thought form of energy, much like me if I was standing next to you and or right behind you, right behind your back, and I was thinking horrible thoughts about you. Sooner or later, you're going to turn around. Even if you thought you were alone in the room, Kevin, I'll bet you €5 or $5 that if I stood behind you and you didn't know that I was there, if I thought for 5 minutes about you's rage, just, you know, about you or something about you, you look around. You just kind of feel weird, you know. And so people don't really understand that just because we can't see spirits doesn't mean that they're not there. And we have to protect ourselves, and that's half of my work, is teaching people how to protect themselves.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Several easy steps. It's very important. A little protection goes a long way.
Yes.
And we're not at their mercy. It's just that most people don't do anything.
Well, it's because they're convinced. I am convinced of this. The greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was convincing people that he doesn't exist.
It is. It is true, and especially since that we're all, most religions are taught that there is an afterlife, there is some kind of higher place, like a heaven-type situation. So that would mean that there's still something. I think the problem is that there's so little discussion in modern religion about exactly what you are or what you become after you die. It's just a given that you are something. Now, some religions teach that everything that you do in your life is left behind, that you're something new. I disagree with that. I believe that the only thing that happens is that our physical body ceases to exist, but our personality is part of our soul. Our personality is part of our spirit. Our soul and our spirit are the same thing. And our personality goes with us when we die. And if we have a negative personality or are somehow we get negative after we pass on, there's a possibility that some people do negative things and continue to do negative things. It's just there are plenty of them around. There's lots of people on our planet, lots of people dying. So there's lots of spirits out there, and some continue to hang around close to us, where they should be moving away and living with other spirits or by themselves, whatever they want to do.
Well, let me agree with you and disagree with you at the same time. You know, I learned that from John Kerry. But I believe that the spirit and the soul are two different things. I believe that your spirit is that divine spark that God gave you to create life, you know, to join you with Him. But your soul is you. It is the sum of your experiences.
I don't see any particular argument to that point. I mean, if one wants to say that there's a spark of the divine in each soul, I believe that dogs, cats have souls. I believe all insects have souls. And so individual souls. And they don't go into a group soul and they die. They are individual souls. They are not human souls. I can see them. I was born with that ability and continue to develop these abilities. I work on animals all the time. But I would not argue that point because I think it's very possible and logical that there is a spark of the divine in each person. But I would also say that that's not something we really have to worry about. That might be, you know, something that's just kind of automatic. And so the idea is that, you know, it's our personalities or souls, as you say, that we have to worry about. You know, there's a lot we can do. And the most important part of all of this to me is that when we die, we take our personalities with us because our personalities are non-physical. When we die, we take everything with us that is not physical. So if you take a look at our bodies, spirits, and souls, what part of that is physical? Ask yourself, and you'll come up with an idea that basically the only part of us that is physical or dies is the physical body. Yeah. So our personalities do not die.
No, because I've run into plenty of spirits as a medium. Now, you know, if you look at me, you would say I'm more of a 3X, but I am a medium. And as I run into spirits, if they were jerks in life, they tend to be jerks in the afterlife as well. And so I have to agree with you that you take that with you. But where is the reconciliation? Where is that God moment? Or, oh my God, I was such a jerk in life. Maybe I should change my ways. When does that happen? Or I guess the question I'm leading towards is, where is heaven and why aren't they there?
It's really pretty much right next to us. It's just a deeper portion, like a different dimension. So that spirit resides inside of us anyway, or the soul. All these things are inside of us anyway. And so that God moment you're talking about happens when we have two eyes, we look at the physical world, and so we say that's all there is. When that physical world is removed, that doesn't mean we can't see it. I believe we can see it just fine. But when it's removed as an obstacle, meaning that we don't have a physical body, our perceptions change. They become more powerful. And then we start looking at ourselves. We're able naturally to look at our entire lives. And also we can look into other people's minds and see how they think about us. And sometimes we're quite surprised at all of that. So I think that moment of realization of, okay, that's, you know, my personality at the moment, comes for some very soon after the moment of death, and for some people who are afraid to look at themselves or forget how to do it, then that's a little bit longer of a period. And for some people who are so ashamed or so unwilling to look at themselves, if they were unwilling to look at themselves in their physical life, I would imagine it would take some time to, for them to really come to grips with all of that in the non-physical world mm-hmm. as well. Because it's not going to be the way we want it to be. You know, we have our own strict rules about things, you know, that Jeff's going to heaven, but Kevin isn't because he did all these bad things. Not really people. I'm just using Kevin as an example. But, you know, and then we find, okay, Kevin is right next to me, you know, in heaven and enjoying himself and also looking at himself and all of that. You know, there's people are surprised. Sometimes they're disappointed. It's like, wow, I really believe that Kevin belongs somewhere else, and here he is, you know. So it's not always up to us. I think that the Akashic Records, many of your listeners might have heard of that, which means
yes.
essentially the book of knowledge. I believe there is no such thing. My concept is that everything is known. Everything is knowable, meaning that all information is knowable through perception. The Akashic Records is not a library. That's very symbolic. It's a nice concept. And some valid psychic readers will go and say, I'm going to this library to take a look. But actually, it's really not necessary that all of the information is really – everything that's ever happened is knowable. It's not a secret. It's only, you know, we're not able to perceive that on a conscious level at this point in our existence.
You know, you make a really good point, Jeffrey. And here's why. Now, I want to believe in the Akashic Records. I really do. I want to believe. But if you go, you know, I am a practicing Jew. And if you go deep, deep, deep into Judaism, we believe that all of your memory, every little moment, every waking second of your life is recorded in your mind or in your soul. And you know how everybody talks about when you go to heaven, you've got this past life review? That is when all of that spills out and you see your life. You see every moment of your life and everybody you touched and everybody they touched. You know, like you know, I give this homeless man a dollar. That's recorded. But not only that, but what did that homeless man do with that dollar? And what lives did he touch? And he touch, and he touch, and it gets exponential. Would that be more along the lines of what you're thinking of the Akashic Records?
I think that is more along the lines of how you want or believe that that's going to happen, and I don't think that that would be wrong. I would look at it more like the Akashic Records are sort of like a non-physical master tape, essentially, that anybody can see your most private thoughts. That, sorry for the, you know, lack of privacy, people, but the idea that spirits can see everything. I mean, as far as things they need to know, it's just that most of us would probably agree that our lives are not so interesting, you know, that what would be the reason that a spirit would want to invade our privacy or look at us or things we don't want them to see or whatever when they have their own stuff going on? So I would say that it's not, you know, looking at yourself, you determine when you want that to happen. If you want that to happen in a ritual form after you die, where essentially you go over these things with your spirit guides and or higher deities, which I believe there are lots of out there, which lends validity to the different religions and so far as that they're there to help you, I think that is a good place, you know. And I also think that it's not necessarily really good for people to immediately start to the process of self-examination after death. People who have gone through near-death experiences can tell you about the first thing they, you know, say is above the operating table or something, they pronounce dead or whatever. I'm here. I feel fine. I'm up here. I'm floating above the table. How many stories, how many books has that one been written in? And so, you know, I think that they're pretty much trying to tell us that they're the same. People who have stories about their grandmothers or parents or siblings or somebody who died coming back to them right after they die and saying, hey, I'm fine, you know, I'm okay, or whatever, getting that feeling or something, just even a feeling of something being near me, like, wow, my brother's still around or my mother's still around, you know, letting me know that they're okay, is something that we can get on while we're in the physical. If we remembered everything about our past lives, I think it would be problematic. I think it's okay to go into, the stuff that I did was not under hypnosis. It just came to me. But, I think that if we remembered everything we did in a past life, we might end up becoming a lot of times depressed, you know, that like say last lifetime, we did a lot of bad things. That would just simply haunt us. It wouldn't necessarily make us live a better life in this life. We kind of need a new start. You know, we're always going to have these problems sticking up. And, you know, say we were an alcoholic in our past life. we may have to deal with that in this life if we didn't deal with it in the next life, which means, you know, essentially the reasons why we drank and self-destructive or, you know, anxiety or all the other millions of other things and how we handle problems. I think there's a lot of that going on, but, you know, that's, you know, a whole bunch of, it goes into different, you know, subjects and topics of past life stuff, but I do believe that people live many lives. I remember bits and pieces of last lives or past lives, and I also remember dying in a few lives, and so I know what it's like, and it was the transformation itself. It was like, well, if I didn't see my body lying in the middle of the road, then I would not know that I was dead, which tells me, in my own experience, Kevin, that absolutely nothing happened to my personality, because I'm looking at my body and saying, the only reason I know that I'm dead is my body's lying in the middle of the road, and I'm 25 or 50 feet away, and I'm fine. I can see the physical world, and, you know, things are very clear, and I'm sure I can float away at any time. I don't feel connected to my body. And so I think it's all good news, you know. I just think when it comes to religion, you know, that we have to kind of look out for the fine print that people wrote, because most major religions I find pretty much all have the same major philosophy, and then you get into the fine print, and then it's radically different, and so you can decide what you want to do with all that. But I really do believe that, say, God and higher spirits, angels, are also scientists. And the non-physical universe also has rules, although they are not physical rules. And so spirits cannot do anything they want to do. And they also cannot do anything they want to living people. There are things we can do to protect ourselves, and I'm very big on that.
Yeah. Before we get to the protection, though, I want to circle back around to an earlier point. And you gave me a perfect, beautiful segue into it. What about spirits that when you're doing a clearing and you're clearing a location of a negative spirit or even be it energy, what if that spirit doesn't want to go? Like, I belong here. This is mine. This is my space. I either died here or I enjoy it here, or I've run into this situation. These people feed me, and how dare you?
Spirits create their own reality on a non-physical level, meaning that when you are in heaven, you can create your own home, clothing, and surroundings through the process of visualization. It's a little bit more complex than that, but it's also very easy to do, and all spirits do it. When we're dealing with non-physical beings, they have to obey non-physical laws. And so what I do is I teach people how to create devices and protection systems only out of non-physical energies from the other side, which is something we normally do. So scientists know that we, like the string theory and all of that, that we have these little vibrational things that come up, and depending on how they vibrate and the rate that they vibrate, physical matter is created. So the same is true of using non-physical energy as a spirit in order to deflect and to get non-physical things like spirits and demonic spirits in order to move away from you and also cut the negative connections.
Now, what if, do you believe that when we're talking about these connections, that people, you know, you always meet these people in life, and I work in corrections, so I meet them rather often, that their lives are just so tragic, and you're like, why, you know, what is wrong with you? Do you feel that maybe that's influenced by negative spirits that creates that tragedy so that they can consume that negative energy and just stay stronger? And how do they begin to protect themselves from that? When you tell them, you know, defend yourself, create devices, what do they do, Jeff?
An angry person who is living really angry deep inside likes to see chaos and other people get angry and maybe even rejoices in conflicts and even violence itself. Same is true of negative spirits who do this kind of thing. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can offer spirits, Kevin, and so the motivations for doing these things are varied. But one motivation that is very common is they just like to see people do negative things, and it gives them a sense of satisfaction and a sense of power, more on an emotional level, that, hey, I got this person to hit their significant other, their wife, their kid. I got this person to shoot somebody or shoot a whole bunch of people. That's in the news. Now, I'm not saying that's all due to negative spirits or anything, but certainly that's the kind of thing that would attract negative spirits in order to throw a person over the edge. And so sometimes the motivation is just the satisfaction of being able to get someone to do something that's harmful to themselves and or others. And it doesn't make any sense to people like you and I. It's like, I get nothing out of that. Well, and you know what? 75-80% of the living people listening to this show are going to go, I get, and maybe more listening to this show, nothing. It's like, well, that wouldn't do anything for me. Not for you, but your motivations are good. You're thinking more about giving that person $5 so they get something to eat. Yeah, you're a nice person. But the idea is that a negative person or negative spirit would do things maybe purely for the idea of creating a negative event, which yes. makes no sense at all to a person who has no interest in that, or spirit, makes perfect sense in a way to a person who is so angry at themselves and or the world or their life or their past life, the life they just lived, that they have to make other people's lives miserable too. And it may be people that you have known that have passed on that are coming back for a little revenge or to make sure that your life is as miserable as their life used to be. Physical fire, non-physical fire, is one of the things used in order to move negative energy and also to separate spirits. Water also have non-physical cleansing properties to them, as well as water having a cleansing property to it. Fire, it could be said, has some physical cleansing properties to it. I'm only concerned about the non-physical cleansing properties. So there's kind of like the symbolic way to do exorcisms, and then there's the more modern techniques, which I get into, you know, that says, well, there may be an issue in the home too or something, you know, that there's something around this, to look at all of it, not just a simplistic explanation that there is just a negative spirit inside of a person. They might be, essentially mentally ill, and some mental illness is, you know, has physical causes and not necessarily possessed. And so these are the things I look for when people call me. But like I said, that I would say 60% of the people who contact me just want their home or their person or their business cleared, so that people don't feel negative energy around them, and they also feel stronger and better and able to conduct better business. So it's more practical. And then there's that other percentage of my business that deals with definitely people or property are under attack. Most of the time it's the people under attack, because spirits have no interest in property. They don't need shelter. So it's more to attack humans. Not always the case. But then not all spirits are mentally healthy.
You know, that makes sense. Really, it does. And speaking, you know, as a person that's done this for 20 some odd years, you know, people are always like, well, my home is haunted. Well, no, I don't think it's your house. I think it's you. Well, why does it just attack me here? Because that's where you are.
Yeah, and the goal might be to drive them away, and then, of course, they go to another place, and then they get attacked again, and that's going to frustrate them more. So the best thing to do is to make a stand and get rid of the problem, in your home, or if there's any kind of, you feel negative or something like that, there's things that can be done about that that is not religious. I don't belong to any religion at all. I work, you know, with everybody. And so there are things we can do, but if you leave it, if it doesn't follow you, you're certainly leaving it for the next people. You know, you'll have to put a little disclaimer there, you know, when you're selling your house, that, by the way, it's haunted, and or it's going to follow you around, because spirits are not confined to houses. You know, they can, you know, follow you anywhere, and that's kind of why I caution ghost hunters. I'm more of a ghostbuster. the idea is that, you know, if you call negative spirits, say you're in a prison or something, and you've worked in corrections, that if you call spirits, that you're going to probably find only negative spirits be interested in going to a place where people are obviously suffering, whether they committed crimes or not. They're clearly incarcerated, and nobody's having fun.
Absolutely true. Hey, yeah, don't call me. I'm not showing up. I'm over here having a great time.
And they can follow you home. And what I tell them is, okay, even if something doesn't happen right there in front of the cameras, they can follow you right back to your home and attack your family. There's no law that says that spirits have to go away once the cameras stop rolling. So I always tell ghost hunters, be careful what you're doing. If you call a negative spirit, you know, please pinch me, scratch me, bite me,
yes,
do something with cameras, it's like you're making a serious mistake.
Yes, that to me is just really stupid. Now, I do invite spirits, you know, if you have anything to say, say it into this device. But without naming any names, we all know who we're talking about. You know, oh, you like to pick on little girls? Well, do something to me. Do something to me. Attack me.
Right.
Are you stupid?
Most spirits are positive, you know, and if you're just calling them, you know, essentially, you protect yourself. If you protect yourself, which is what I also teach, that essentially there's no harm in doing that. And so you might even get some, you know, good jokes and some information from the other side and things you're looking for. So most spirits are good. They're not going to do negative things. But, you know, the Ouija board you have to be careful with, protect yourself, because it is kind of like a party line. One moment you have a good spirit, one moment negative.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned remote exorcism, that you can do clearings remotely.
Yeah. Most of them are done that way by me. I had to learn and also be kind of retrained by my own spirit guides, but essentially by focusing through Skype, you know, different messenger services, video stuff, or even with a picture. Usually I talk to a client if possible, depending on, I work with people all over the world. Each person has a unique vibrational rate, much like our DNA, so I can focus in on it and throw a huge amount of energy through that person when they know that that's going to happen. And the same is true of a house. There's only one house. They may look the same, be built the same. They might even, you know, be right next to each other. But each person has a unique home and also business. And so it's a little harder to do. But there's no such thing as distance when it comes to energy work, because distance is a physical property and not a non-physical property, which means a spirit could go from New York to Los Angeles in 2 seconds, where it takes us, you know, 4 hours or something by a jet airplane. And so the same is true. If I'm focusing in on something, I can throw energy and get rid of this problem in a matter of a few hours or over a course of a few days, if it's very serious, by working on it maybe an hour or two a day, that kind of thing. That's how I usually work. I usually work with an exorcism. So it's science. It's not some kind of hocus pocus or I would not even consider it to be spirituality. It really is a scientific technique. That does not mean that there is not a God or there are spirits or they have personalities. It just means that they're also scientists and there are laws on both sides of the universe.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeffrey Seelman, tell us about StarClear.com. And is this where the listeners can reach out to you and maybe get their questions answered or take advantage of what you do?
I don't charge for initial consultations, which means get a hold of me and ask me questions, see if I can help you. StarClear.com is the name of my website, StarClear, one word, StarClear.com. On that is my Skype information, telephone numbers, places where you can text me pictures, email addresses, all my contact information, my life history, all of that, you know, my resume. Everything you need to know is at StarClear.com, and I'm happy to answer questions. And like I said, I don't charge for initial consultations, because first I want to see if I'm even able to help you and see if you need my help.
See, and I have to admire that. I really, really do. I have to admire that. But, Jeffrey, I've been taking notes throughout the interview. I hope nobody has heard my scribblings. But we haven't even begun to even scratch the surface. I've got so many more questions. I've got to have you back on the show again soon. Would you be willing to join us?
Oh, I'd be happy to, Kevin. You know, there's a lot of more stuff I can go into on a deeper level that I think would interest your listening audience. So be happy to come back.
Oh, heck, it's interesting me right now. I got so many questions. But we're quickly running out of time. But I would be remiss if I didn't end the show with this. And I love to ask, you know, and this is what happens, folks, when I don't have a co-host. If you had 1 minute to address the entire planet, what would you tell them?
Learn how to protect yourself from negative emotional energies, which are naturally generated by all living people through their non-physical system when they're waking or sleeping, and also to protect ourselves from negative spirits and also a lot of the anger that's happening around our world as our world's going through some big changes. So keep yourself protected. It's really easy to do. You can do it in 10 seconds flat. The way I teach it, it works. Really easy to learn. So protect yourself, protect your family, protect your home and business. There's lots of negative energy out there. Not a good time to go unprotected.
Our guest has been Jeffrey Seelman. One more time, his website is www.starclear, all one word, starclear.com. Jeffrey, thank you. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Kevin, thanks a lot for having me on.
To find out more about our show, guests, or listen to a previous show, visit our website at www.somethingweirdmedia.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.